Hey, this is Rob Unspach, and welcome back to another edition of E-Heroes for those keeping count. This is episode 280, and I got a great guest today. But let me ask you, most of the entrepreneurs I know that follow me, you know, that they're struggling and they're afraid to raise prices. They're just afraid to make decisions. And as entrepreneurs, ask yourself, is what you're doing right now? I mean, are you in control? Or is life and business just kind of going sideways for you? So I brought on life strategist Gary Cox, and I think this is just going to be an awesome, eye-opening episode. So welcome, Gary, and thanks for being here.
Rob, thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to this. That little tidbit you gave right there, man, I could go a couple days on.
You know, but the thing is that, you know, I jumped on your website, and you've had some adversities. I mean, and I know that a lot of entrepreneurs, you know, they went through COVID, they went through a lot of life-changing things, and some of them, you know, I think COVID took their spirit away. It took their passion away. But, you know, you've had 100%. These adversities that you teach people, that you share with people, and it's like, wow, you know what? How can someone go through all that and still have the spirit to move on?
Yes. So I imagine you want me to share this crazy story that's had my spirit move on.
No, not
a problem at all. So I want, you know, it makes sense. I want people to see that the possibilities are there no matter what you go through. And easier said than done. I mean, that's just the reality of it. So when I was 11 years old, Rob, I started my first business. At 15, started a second business. And as a teenager, I was making over $100,000 a year. So that's probably equivalent to, I don't know, a couple million now. Mm-hmm. So I was crushing it. And then got married. My wife went and had a baby. And then things changed dramatically. Later on, she tells me that baby isn't mine. And you talk about like massive, massive emotional pain. Then my grandfather and stepfather die of cancer. Literally like 10 miles from here, my uncle was killed in a plane crash. Get a phone call from my mother to let me know my father had been shot point blank in his chest and drowned in his own blood. I mean, just pain after pain after pain. All this too, Rob, by the time I was 21. And then I was also born and raised in a cult. So I left that in my 40s. And when you leave this cult, your so-called friends and family are programmed to shun you for life and treat you as if you're dead. So I had all that to contend with. That threw me into a tailspin emotionally and mentally for obvious reasons. So I was $350,000 in debt at that time. And here I am. So I wish I could snap my finger and it was that quick. But and some people commit suicide over this stuff. Hey, don't let me think that I've never come across thoughts like that. But when you're talking about, you know, people going through COVID or whatever the challenges are, here's the thing that people need to really, really, really sink in, Rob. The challenges and the problems that people have in their business and in their personal life is a reflection of the things that are stuck in their emotional hard drive. Mm-hmm. So we all have something stuck in our emotional hard drive. Some people choose to ignore it because if you ignore it, it'll stay there. Because if you don't change it, nothing happens. You can't change what you don't acknowledge. So if you ignore it, nothing happens. And that's why you're repeating the same cycle over and over and over again. Or you can learn the strategies to defrag your computer, if you will. And you know as well as I do, if you get your computer defragged, do you still have to monitor it or does it stay defragged and cleaned out forever? It doesn't. Crap keeps coming back in. You know, as you may know, I'm an avid aviation fan. I love aviation. I fly jets and helicopters and whatever. I don't think I have one right here. A checklist. But when we have an emergency, we have a checklist. When we get ready to start the jet, we have a checklist. When the crap hits the fan for you in your life, what's your checklist? The problem with that is most people don't have a specific to-do thing to do when things hit the fan. So what they do, unfortunately, as humans, we're programmed to be a slave to our feelings, not a leader of our feelings. So when you have an emotion, negative or positive, Rob, you're going to do one of two things. You're going to ignore it, or you're going to reward it. Well, if you don't have that checklist, unfortunately, you're going to reward it and the cycle continues.
Yeah. And I think that I went through a couple of those cycles. I had failing businesses. I've had successful businesses. And it wasn't until I started writing books and putting all those frustrations, those stories and everything into those books yeah, it made me money and made me clients, but they were also my therapy. And they allowed me to
love it.
Put all that negative crap in those books to teach others on how to do things a little differently. And yeah, you know, we all go through crap, and I think COVID for you is probably a walk in the park with all the other adversity you dealt with. But you know, there's so many people out there that they don't know how to deal with the negative. They don't know how to deal or spin things around for themselves, and they just look at other people and go, "Wow, he's so lucky." Luck has nothing to do with it.
Yeah, yeah, it's so true. You know, the thing is, that a lot of people. You lower your standards subconsciously sometimes. And then what happens is, if you're lowering your standards subconsciously, or you're changing your beliefs to the negative, well, I don't know if I can turn this all around again. It was so hard, blah, blah, blah. Then you end up starting to attract and hire, or I should say, hang around people that have the same problems, as opposed to the solution-oriented people like myself and yourself, right? So that's one of the things. It's a decision. You have to decide, okay, if I decide not to let my past equal my present, what would be the decisions I would make now? What would be the masterminds I would join? What would be the Facebook groups I would join? What would be the friends I would hang around with? Because here's the thing, and it's a rhetorical question, so don't even answer it out loud. Don't even answer it in your mind. Just leave it blank when I ask you the question. The question is, who influences you the most? Mm-hmm. The answer is, we do. Nobody knows us more than we do. Nobody plays our negative or positive recording more than we do. And the illustration, if I could include it, Rob, is I tell people we are the sum total of everything that we've ever experienced from the day that we were born to this very moment. So that means then, whatever you are today is made up from the religion that you were in, the movies that you watched, the books that you read, whoever raised you, et cetera, et cetera. Now, if I could take a video from the moment you were born to this moment right now, and it's 100% live, no broken up video or anything like that, and then I give it to an incredible producer, movie producer, and I say, look, take this entire movie, this person's life, and make me 3 minutes of the most depressing video that, it's so depressing, when I watch it, I want to kill myself, all right? I know that you probably have video clips of something like that in your life. I sure as heck know I have that in my life. But on the same hand, we could take that same video, give it to that incredible award-winning movie producer and say, do me a favor, make me a 3-minute video that when anybody watches this video of my life, that they feel unstoppable. They feel that they can literally walk off a 12-story building and nothing is going to hurt them and they can accomplish anything. So the bottom line is, which movie clip do we choose to listen to over and over again? Mm-hmm. And that's what I've had to teach myself to do. I had to teach myself to say, Gary, you're flying in a friggin' jet. Yes, your wife told you she had somebody else's baby by one of your employees that happened to be 15 years old. Ah, but I'm flying a jet. I'm helping people. I'm getting to do things that most people will never get to do. And then when you start putting that stuff on top of the crap, it's a different recording. And that is a choice. See, sometimes, a lot of times we like to watch the old recording because we like a pity party. I mean, I like a pity party sometimes. We all do. It's part of being human, right? But when does it stop? And we've got to decide that too. And the rewards are a lot more, sometimes easier said than done, but they are a lot more. And I think that's where it all stems from. Make a decision and understand what is that movie, that 3-minute movie you're choosing to watch. You got two of them.
Yeah. And for you, you know, being in a cult, you know, that had some negative programming in your head. And I think there's a lot of entrepreneurs, they may not necessarily be in a cult, but they're hanging out with the wrong people that put those negative 100%. Thoughts in their head. And then they can't raise their prices. They can't move forward. They can't implement the things that they really want because these negative thoughts are in their head. And they think, oh, I don't deserve that. You do deserve
100%. Yeah. And the thing is, when people raise their prices, you know what's interesting? And here's a way to get this into people's head. When do people typically raise their prices? Often it's when they're forced to. So let's say that, you know, we have a restaurant and we sell a sandwich for $10 and our cost is $3.50, right? And then if you go in and I go in as a consultant to that restaurant and say, you know what, why don't you charge $11 for your sandwich? No, I can't do that. Okay, don't do it. 3 months later, they find out now their supplier gives them a raise in whatever. And instead of that $3.50, that sandwich now costs $4.50. Now they feel they're validated to charge the $11 that you and I suggested they should have done anyway, and they would have made more money. Now, how stupid is that? Right? So there, if you think that way, you have a problem in your thought process. There's some, so I remember when there was one particular program that I had, and it was a $389 program, I believe, Rob, and a $589 program. I immediately took the $389 and I made it $589, and I made the $589 $789. Mm-hmm. Nothing changed. Right. Everybody, the same sales happened. In fact, I probably made even more. But I did it without being forced to do it. I didn't go, oh my goodness, my travel expenses are a lot more. I had to hire more people, so I'm going to have to increase my price. And you said it, it's value. You know, we all have like a thermometer of what we feel valued at. In fact, I'm working with a client now, and this client's making $20,000 for a speaking engagement. I said, you need to double it. Right now, double it. And then the response is laughter. The laughter tells me that that person doesn't want yet. They don't believe yet that they're at that level. Well, something got them to the $20,000 level, because 10 years ago, if they would have charged $20,000, they'd be laughing again. Are you kidding me? Right? I remember when I charged, my first speaking engagement was $200. I was 18 years old. I spoke to a bank for 30 minutes and I walked out with that check. I go, oh my God, I made $200. I wouldn't think of charging $200 for 30. You probably couldn't get me for a nanosecond for that. You know what I mean? So understand that. If you have resistance to increasing your price, you need to stop and figure out what's the psychological stuff that's stuck in your emotional hard drive that's preventing you from doing that, that's causing Rob to do it when you're not. And that's where we start peeling it back.
Yeah. Oh, and you hit it on the head. And you know, but there's also people that, you know, we instruct to raise their prices, and they coast with those prices for a while. And then somebody says something and they say, oh my goodness. And then they drop their prices in hopes that they can make it up in volume. And I'm like, what did you just do? You know,
and then
they do that for a while, realize they're not making any money. I have to go bankrupt. Yeah. Because you lowered your prices.
Yeah.
It's so true. You know, people get, people get in their minds that they need to be cheaper. And I did that. You know, my first business, I had a cleaning business, and my slogan was, we clean your carpet, not your wallet. I wanted people to know that I was cheaper. Problem was, within 6 months, I almost went bankrupt because I wasn't making enough money.
And
the funny thing is, when I tripled my prices, I got better clients.
100%. You typically will attract better clients. You know, I think what happens is, And this is another reason why. I'll give you a perfect example of this, Rob. Outside of this speaking, you know, my consulting and whatnot, I did something for a gentleman and I charged him X amount of dollars. And I said, you know, I'm going to have to, was it double? It was 50%. I added 50%. Now, here's the thing. If I were to tell you as a client, I said, okay, I want you to add 50%. And if you have resistance, the resistance is going to be something like this. Well, you know, what happens to the people that I'm charging now? They're going to fall off. Then if they fall off, I'm not going to get new people right away, blah, 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 blah. All right. So here's the problem. And this is for those of you watching this and listening, if you're in the position to write this down, this is a game changer. If you understand it, write it down. Your brain will validate all of your beliefs, whether they are right or wrong. Let me repeat that. Your brain will validate all of your beliefs, whether they are right or wrong. So here's what happens. If you are told by Rob or Gary, increase your price 50%, you go ahead and do it. You put it out there. The moment you put it out there, which I told this guy that I'm going to go ahead and put it out there. So I sent him an email. He responds right away. Wow, talk about inflation. Now, if I was mentally weak, I would have said, see, I knew I shouldn't have done it. Then I allowed my brain to validate my decision to say, see, I shouldn't have increased my price. And now you're even more scared to go ahead and put it out again. And do you realize after that, I ended up tripling the price, just a little bit under triple. And I've got something next month that I'm doing the triple for 8 days straight. I want to smile. I want when somebody to call me to bring me on board, I'm going to smile about it. And in fact, just yesterday I was in the Bahamas, right? And we have a company that we hire to escort, you know, drive around our team and so forth to Sandals Resorts where we do our mastermind. And I owed her for, I think, two trips. And I'm just driving 10 miles, right? Not even 10 miles. And I gave her, I don't know, it ended up coming up to like $1,250. And when I gave her a tip, she smiled. And I said, you know why I give you this much? The reason I give you this much is because next time I call you, I want you to smile. Right? I don't want her to go, oh God, here comes Gary and his team again. And in fact, we had somebody with me and they watched, they go, oh my gosh, these people just swarm over you guys. This is why we take care of them, right? Mm-hmm. But this is also why I don't charge a small amount, because if you pay my fee to come work with me, you're going to see that everybody on my team and the people, the vendors that we bring in, you're going to be blown away. So there's a psychology behind that. But remember, your brain will validate all of your beliefs, all of them, whether they are right or wrong. And when you can master and understand that, you'll be able to start manipulating, for lack of a better word, or controlling what goes into your mind and what you let out and what you keep in.
You know, I liked your story about your event. And, you know, but the thing is that you package that all into something that, you know, whether it's 10,000, 20,000, whatever it is, people are going to, wow, that's value. But if you started out and said, it's $1,000 and I'm going to nickel and dime you for everything else, people are going to get
exactly.
And what I always 100%. Tell my clients is that you have to package your services in such a way that people feel value, but you're still making a lot of money.
Yes, yes. And you know, the bottom line is if you're cheap, people expect you to be cheap. If you're expensive, they expect you to be good in most cases. And the other thing too is, and this is where you have to be a little selfish. When I work with coaches, I tell them, if you're doing this one-on-one thing, you need to stop that unless you're making like a lot of money. Like I'll do a $25,000 an hour for like billion-dollar companies because they can afford it. But I still wouldn't want to do that all day long every day because I wouldn't have a life, right? So if you want to truly have a better life with your family, if you have a family, or a better life to donate more money or more of your time to church or charity, these are things that you have to do, not wait 5 years and go, oh my gosh, I wish I'd have done this then. No, this is now. When's the best time to plant a 20-year-old tree, right? 20 years ago. When's the next best time? Now. What does now mean? No waiting. Do it.
Yeah. And as a business owner, one of the things that we're supposed to remember is the business is supposed to fund our personal life. Our personal life is not supposed to fund our business. You know,
right?
working 14-hour days is not a life. You know, so when you can pull the things back and say, look, I'm only going to work 4 hours a day. I'm going to hyper-focus and get stuff done, and then I'm going to go have freedom somewhere else.
Yeah.
That's what an entrepreneur should be doing.
100%. And you stop and think about why did we pull the entrepreneur trigger? There's really one. It was the dream. The dream of what? Freedom of money, freedom of time. That was the dream. So if you're not living that dream now, granted, if you just started in a year, you're probably not going to live the dream right away in a year. You got to put in some grind. There's no question. You usually start off with a lot more time than you do capital. But there's got to be a time where you break it, all right? And if I can go on a little bit on that, and one of the reasons we have such a hard time breaking that cycle, Rob, is because when we start off as an entrepreneur, we have so much more time than money. And then because of that, we do everything ourselves. Then we come up with this other belief that says, if you want it done right, do it your what? Yourself, which is one of the worst beliefs that you can have if you want to really grow your company. My billionaire mentor who owns Sandals Resorts, he unfortunately passed away. He's got 20 hotels. He could not have 20 hotels if he decided to have one hotel and micromanage everything to make sure everything is perfect. He knows things are going to go wrong. So if you want to grow, you've got to learn to let go, because if you've been doing so much on your own and you have this belief that if you want it done right, do it yourself, the problem that you're going to have is you're going to micromanage people. Then you're going to hire people who need micromanaging. Yeah. And then you're not going to be able to do what you're the skilled expert at doing. And then you're just going to be just like you said, doing the 18-hour day thing.
Yeah. You know, my favorite thing is going to Disney World. That's just my yearly thing. Sometimes I do it twice a year. And people
wow.
are looking at me going, Rob, you're 55 years old. That's a kid's place. I said, no, it's a place for
I love it.
Inspiration. And I look at
yes.
I look at the way they run things. And I'm thinking, okay, how do
right?
I Disney-fy my business to make
yeah,
to run smoother, but also that I can take more time off to travel and do stuff
and do this.
And you know, I think most entrepreneurs look, they're short-sighted. They look at things, okay, what do I do? What do I need to do today to make money? No, what do you need to do in over the next 5 years to make your business so that you don't have to be there every day? You know, it just, you know, I look at all the entrepreneurs that I know that have been doing this for more than a couple decades, and I'm almost going on 30 years as an entrepreneur, and I need to look at things and say, okay, how do I simplify this so that I can get to where I want to go? But everybody's like complicated stuff and putting funnels and
digital
this and I'm like, dude, you're on like 100 different social channels. Take it down to about 3. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they overcomplicate.
Yeah, no, that's so true.
Do.
No question. I think we forget the lifestyle. One thing I learned from my billionaire mentor was lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to have $1 billion to have an incredible lifestyle. You can, like you said, you can dumb it down and make that dumbed down smaller really, really good. You know, what happens is it's like if you own a hotel and you have in that hotel, you need 100 staff members to run that hotel like primo perfectly. Well, it's kind of stupid for you to go ahead and get another hotel, take 50 people from this hotel and put the 50 other people over to this hotel. Now you got 2 hotels that are like halfway working and now you're going to just implode. It just doesn't make any sense. So yeah, it's kind of crazy how we think sometimes. But if we have to be a little more selfish and say, okay, I need more time, what would I do to have more time and have more time with my family and so forth? But unfortunately, a lot of times people make the mistake where they wait too long and then they're about to get a divorce. And now they start, to backpedal, then it's too late, you know, or they're on drugs. The amount of entrepreneurs, oh my gosh, that need medication or drugs to get up and go to bed, it blows my mind.
Yeah.
That is an expensive price. And if that's the price you're paying, you're doing something wrong.
Yeah. Yesterday, my wife and I just celebrated 35 years of marriage, and you know,
beautiful.
I look at what I'm doing personally and in my business, and I'm thinking, okay, you know, how do I spend more time with my grandkids? How do I spend more time with my wife? Okay, is working 12 hours a day going to benefit me to do any of that? No. So what I've done is I've taken down my business hours to about 4 hours a day. That's it. And I hyper focus. I get stuff done.
Yes.
I crank out 4 or 5 books a year. You know, people are like, "Well, Rob, how do you do
that's
that?"
That's awesome. Yeah. Because
I maximize my time to make it worth it.
You got a tight rein, man.
You know, it's. Are there things that I probably would like to do better? Of course. But you know, sure. I also look at, okay, where is my time more valuable to me? And family time is more valuable than anything. And the reason I started this, you know, my businesses even long ago, it wasn't about money. It was about freedom. I wanted to call the shots.
Yeah.
I wanted
That's
to
my
work
favorite
when
word.
I wanted to work when I wanted, where I wanted, how I wanted. And I couldn't do any of that working for somebody else.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah. Freedom is my favorite word. And that should be one of the favorite words of everybody watching this. If they're an entrepreneur and if they're not getting that, what's the next move that I got to make to have some of that freedom that Rob's got, you know?
Yeah. You know, I look at what you're doing and it's just, it's phenomenal. I mean, you have more energy.
Thank you.
You know, and you're out there just helping so many people. And, you know, for me, it was not always building a business that I could enjoy, but the legacy that I'm going to leave behind. And that legacy is all the books that I'm putting out. You know, they're educating that next generation. And you're educating people all the time.
Yeah, it's so hard. But it's rewarding, as you know.
Yeah, but you know, you have masterminds, you have coaching, you've got keynote speaking. I mean, you're everywhere.
We're trying. Yeah, the masterminds are the most fun, you know, because I love to fly. So I get to fly the jet. And then I love helping people. And I'm actually from Jamaica. You wouldn't know it. But so I love the Caribbean. So I get to wrap those 3 things in. And we just got back last night, in fact, taking some incredible entrepreneurs down there for the day. But yeah, it's good stuff. And it makes it enjoyable. You know, you've got, like you said, you've got to create that freedom. You've got to make it enjoyable. And I did one particular part in my business some time ago. And I told my team, I said, this is not enjoyable for me. I can't do this. I just, and it's not enjoyable for them too, right? So I try to bring people on board that have the same type of values and beliefs that they want freedom. And I try to give them that freedom by traveling. They get to travel with me. We get to go to, you know, wherever. So, and if you're, and that doesn't happen overnight. See, that's the other thing, you know, the worst person you can compare yourself to is not other people. First, it's comparing yourself to yourself, then other people. But we're all on different chapters, right? We're all on different chapters. You know, when I go to the gym and I see somebody that's, you know, overweight by 100 pounds, I'm very cautious about being critical of that person because that person could have been overweight by 200 pounds. You know, mm-hmm. We're all in a different chapter. So just know that whatever chapter you're at, if you want to do more, be better at it, it's possible. But understand, be intentional about your moves. Be intentional about your moves. Like a chess game, you know, a great chess player is intentional about their moves. They know what the next move is. So know what the next move is for you to get the next piece of freedom. And if you don't know what that next move is, that's where you have to start. Yeah. Because then you'll be just doing in that little hamster wheel.
You had mentioned not enjoyable. And there's a lot of entrepreneurs that don't enjoy what they do. And I tell them, well, what is it that you'd like to do? And combine that with what you're doing to make it more enjoyable. And a lot of them have created businesses 100%. Or inherited businesses that they just don't like. But they're afraid to try to take that risk to do something different. And, right. and that's not being an entrepreneur. That's just being a slave to an idea that, you know, you're not going to like.
Yep.
You know?
So true.
That's why I admire you. You've packaged your services in a way that's not only enjoyable, but you're doing the things that you love to do, and I think that makes you not only a hero to a lot of people, but they can look up to you. They can see that, hey, he's a prime example of taking the joy that I like to do and packaging in a way that helps other people.
Yeah, and I encourage people, you know, chip at it. If you could have a magic wand and have the money to do whatever it is that you want to do in your business, what would it look like? And then that's the goal. You know, my goal was to do the jet, go to the Bahamas, coach people, take them with me. I remember years ago, decades ago, the number one promoter of speakers in the world, the number one promoter, because I've got this jet mastermind you know about. And he said, Gary, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard of. No one's going to pay you to go on your jet and fly you to. And you know what? I have a belief, and here it is. When my feelings are not in harmony with my goals, ignore my feelings. Mm-hmm. When my feelings are not in harmony with my goals, ignore my feelings. So my feelings said, oh crap, there's rejection. This ain't going to work. I ignored it. And I pushed through and I didn't want to ignore it because this guy knows way more than I do in this industry. He's been around the block. I mean, he's doing every major speaker at that time. It was Zig Ziglar, Steve Covey, Harvey McKay, all the big names. He did them all. Mm-hmm. And then he told me that. And I just had to let that go. I had to ignore that. And I literally, you know, because everybody's doing, not everybody, but a lot of people do the jet thing now. But I literally was the first one that started this 30 years ago. I got a picture in front of a real old jet. But I chipped away at it. And even though it doesn't happen overnight, you've got to keep chipping. But make sure when you're chipping, you see the chips fall so you know you're making progress. Mm-hmm. And try not to be discouraged. And that's why the importance is of you, as you well know, Rob, we got to make this a journey. Yeah. And if you make it a destination, you are never going to be happy when you get there. And I'll give you an example of that. When I started flying airplanes, I'd fly to the Bahamas, Rob, in a little four-seater airplane, right? And then we'd come fly from the Bahamas and land in Fort Lauderdale where the customs is. And you see all these big airplanes. So we would park the airplane before clearing customs to an airplane that's bigger than mine, maybe like a twin engine. Then the people in my airplane would say, when are you going to get a twin engine? Well, lo and behold, I bought a twin engine. So we come back from the Bahamas, it holds more people. We now park beside a jet. So what do you think some of those people say? When are you going to get a jet? So take a guess what? Gary starts taking his friends and people over in a jet. We start parking beside a bigger jet. When are you going to get one? It's just, when's it going to end? Yeah. So you've just got to figure out what works for you. You know, you got to figure out what works for you. I don't need a bigger jet. Maybe later on, I don't have to compare myself with the Joneses. You know why? Because I'm not overly concerned about what other people think.
Yeah.
I wear flip-flops all day long. That's it. I don't wear fancy shoes. I wear flip-flops and I'm okay with that. And if they're not okay.
in 95, when I created this, the carpet cleaning business, you know, I struggled. Yeah. I learned. But I also knew that I was capable of so much more. And I started learning marketing. Yeah. I started developing my own systems and way the way I wanted to do things. And in 2001, I opened on Spock Media, but I still had the carpet cleaning business because I knew that, you know, there was going to be some overlap. And finally, I sold the cleaning business in 2014. So there was like 14 years of overlap.
And, wow.
I wrote my first book.
Example.
I wrote my first book in 2014 or 2013. So it's 11 years now. And wow. You know, that first book was all about social media and it took off and now wow. It's 11 years later and I've produced 43 books. And people, you know, the first couple books I put out, people are like, wow, this is great. This is awesome. And then, I start, marketing the next book and the next book and the next book. And they're like, damn it, Rob, stop writing books. I can't keep up. It's like,
yeah,
now they're telling That's me crazy. Not to do stuff. And I'm like, I'm still doing it because,
wow.
You know, to me, it's fun. You know, I love doing it.
That's amazing, Rob.
And
good for you.
But yeah, for a long time, people were like, well, you know, you're doing this now. Oh, you're doing that now. Or it's like, no, I did one for 19 years and this is, I overlapped. Now I'm doing one for 20 some years. You know, I stick
good.
To it. But, you know, I think the biggest problem with a lot of entrepreneurs right now is the naysayers or they're so hung up on the yeah. negative reviews that they get on Google. So what? Keep moving forward.
Yeah. You can't please them all.
No. And one of the things that I have in front of me that's right in the wall that I'm looking at says some will, some uh-huh. won't. So what? You know?
Next. Yeah.
You got to have thick skin and you got to know that you have value and you know, to price your services higher than your competition. You might say, oh, the market won't bear it. The market will bear it. You just have to find better clients.
Yeah. I tell people there's 8 billion people out there on this planet. It's got to be a couple thousand or 10,000 or a couple million out of 8 billion people that want to listen to what you have. No yeah. question about it. Or yeah. use your services.
Yeah.
You just got to find them.
And don't worry about, if you're going to put videos out, don't worry about views. Don't worry about analytics because you only need that one person who likes what you have yep. to say that will buy from you. And it changes, you know, how you do business.
100%.
I'm not a big
good fan. Stuff, Rob.
I'm not a big fan of going viral. I'm not a big fan of all that. To me, it's all vanity metrics.
Yep.
I want that one person who really wants my service.
Right. Yeah, I remember making my first selfie. I hated it. I just yeah, it's not my thing. And this we're in the society that, you know, that's what we do now. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's changed the world.
So how do people find you? Where do they go?
They can go to my website, Rob, GaryCox.com. GaryCox.com. That's GaryCoxe. I've got an E at the end of my name. GaryCox.com. And then we also have 1 week online live programs that I do that they can join. They can go there and find all that information. And if they want to go on my mastermind, come with me in the jet for a day and take their business to a whole nother crazy level, they can find out that information there as well. I'm all over social media on the same handle. And we're out there. That's for sure.
Yeah. Tell me about, I think you were on a show called The Doctors. Tell me about that.
One of Dr. Phil's shows.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of Dr. Phil's show, The Doctors. One of the things that I do, and I don't say this with arrogance at all, Rob, but I do, I'm known for doing in 1 hour what therapists or business consultants can't do in a year. So I've been able to, I think because of the crap I've been through that I've shared with you today, I've been able to learn how to acutely identify where people get stuck and then more importantly, very quickly reprogram or rewire that. So I did that show for about 3 years and I've done, I did many other shows before that, Inside Edition, Fox and Friends. And one of the reasons I do that for those of you who are out there that are entrepreneurs, it's really much smarter to do one presentation on TV, which puts you in front of millions of people, as opposed to one presentation in front of maybe an audience of 100 people. It's just so much more smarter. And everything on TV gets on the internet, not the other way around. So one of the things that we do in one of our inner circle programs, we give them access to like 120 casting producers so they can, if they want their own TV show, You know, what's the biggest shows that they'd like to get on or be an expert on? It just changes the game. So I started doing TV probably like right when I started in my business over 30 years ago. So we've got 30 years of knowledge in front of the camera and behind the camera. And that's one of the strategies that we use to help people explode really quick.
And you have, I think you have a bunch of books as well.
I don't have 40 something books, but I have a few. No, I don't compare to you, my friend. Sheesh, that's crazy. Good for you. I have three. I have actually one book that I've written years ago that's just sitting down. I probably should do something with that. But yeah, I have three. One that my most popular seller was Don't Let Others Rent Space in Your Head, apropos to all of us.
Yeah, I mean, my latest book that, and the funny thing is that how that, my latest book is called Unscripted, Unfiltered, Unwoo-woo, and Unguru. I actually took interviews that I had with Steve Gamlin, actually on this show. Steve had been the one that I interviewed the most over the last 5 years. I think he appeared on the show 7 times. And after the 7th interview, I thought, you know, this stuff is good stuff. Let's put it into a book. So I transcribed it all, rewrote it, got it in the book, and put it out there. And people are just loving it because it's just two guys talking. I mean, we're just no BS guys, and we're talking about entrepreneurship.
Right, right.
And people just love it. And you know, I'm not saying that you know, guru worship is not bad, but I think we need to do it in a way that you know, gets entrepreneurs on the right path.
Results, man. You
have never considered yourself a guru, although you do help a lot of people in doing extraordinary things. I think there's a lot of gurus out there that do things for the wrong reasons. And I'm not gonna name names, but they put out these programs and all it is a money grab. And that's not your style.
Not at all. Yeah, I think so many people, we were just talking about it today, some people just do this stuff for the sake of making money. And you can tell very quickly. It didn't take a person long to figure it out. Right. And that's why they're always, you know, okay, well, now we're going to do AI, or now we're going to do this. Well, what's the next new thing? Oh, I'm going to jump over and do this. Well, you know, I see too much of that.
Yeah.
And then these are just regurgitating stuff that somebody else regurgitated 10 years ago. You know, they're regurgitating the same stuff that makes no sense.
Yeah. And you know, my son, my middle son, he's 27. And
how old?
27.
How old is he?
27.
I think it's 27. Better get it right. Ask your wife; she will know.
He was born in 97. So yeah, 27 this year. And he's like, "Well, Dad, I have all these things I want to do, and but how do I get to the next part?" And I said, "You know, you have all these brilliant ideas. You're 27 years old. Write a book. I'll teach you how to do it." I said, "And you're going to be so far ahead of all your other friends who are in the same, because now you have a book
of that."
And you know, we all have these experiences. We all have these adversities. We all have all these things that we've overcome. Why not put them down in paper? Why not share them with the world? You know, I think people are afraid. They're so afraid.
Yeah.
They don't want other people to know their adversity.
And you know, the crazy thing when you say that, what happens when people listen to your adversities? They get impacted by it. So why would not other people be impacted by, you know, somebody else writing about their, you know, adversities and being a little bit vulnerable? And we that's why we all need that. It's called support, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's, you know, you will pay a therapist big bucks to get support. But why don't you get into a mastermind group that actually generates you better revenue, helps you overcome all the stuff that you're paying someone else to do?
Sure, 100%. So true.
So, you know, what advice can you give? We have a few minutes left. You know, what's that?
Yeah, no problem. I got to wrap up too. You know, it's just simple stuff. People hear it all the time, and it's so true. Never give up. You know, it sounds so simplistic, but not only never give up, but when you get knocked down, how fast can you get back up? See, I know I'm going to get up, but I want to know how fast can I do it? Because there's a difference, because the faster you get back up, the quicker you get to that next level. So if you can get that mindset to never give up, and when you get knocked down, you know to come back up, but how quick can you get back up, and what's stopping you from getting up quicker? And it's basically mastering this. And I teach people and I encourage people to learn how to play games with their mind instead of their mind playing games with them. When you do that, you got that game beat of playing games with the mind. It's a powerful thing. It gives you all the direction that you need in the world.
Well, that was great. And I hope everybody got benefit from this. And we'll see you guys on the next episode. Adios. Thanks, Gary.
Thank you, Rob. Thank you.